Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. When you switch to Farmers Insurance, you could save a bundle. All you have to do is call 1-888-FARMERS. That's 1-888-FARMERS. Get a quote today.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
So before we get into a big quarterback decision, we are now looking ahead after tonight's game. Look, Brooklyn beat San Antonio in overtime, 124-113. It was a huge night from James Harden. He goes for 30, 15 assists, 14 rebounds, no turnovers as the Nets win in overtime. The Nets only had 5 turnovers in the game over the Spurs. Hey, the Spurs played out of their shoes tonight. It was a great game. They tie it up in a ridiculous sequence at the end of regulation, but the Nets proved to be too much in overtime. Now, normally when you see teams in the NBA, hey, we play San Antonio, you know, they've got the Texas towns all coming. It's Dallas, it's Houston. Well, Wednesday is the Nets and the Rockets, which would be James Harden's return to Houston for the first time since the big trade a couple months ago. And Kyrie Irving wanted to make sure after the game tonight that everybody understood that Wednesday we are playing basketball and we have no time for shenanigans.
We're excited to play basketball, go back to where James had a great career. We're looking forward to the experience, looking forward to having fun. It's going to be high competitive, a lot of great players, no animosity on the court, just greatness on display. Everybody at home, enjoy the game. There will be no tension or no talking going on the court or about James and my presence or anybody else's presence. So we're coming to Houston to enjoy the game of basketball and play it at a high level on behalf of James and the rest of the guys, because we know it's a special night regardless.
You know what I like? You know what I like? I like that Kyrie Irving is the one saying, hey, there's not going to be any craziness going on Wednesday. Wait, really? You're the one that brings the crazy. You're the one telling us that there's no crazy happening on Wednesday. You're the one, you come with whole buckets of it. You're the one that gets off the bus and saying, Jerome Jarvis, can you get my my bags? I got buckets of crazy coming out here. I got steamer trunks like I'm getting on the Titanic. I got all that. Yeah, come, can you grab that? Bring that. We're going to bring it all. I got all kinds of crazy coming your way. But he's the one saying, hey, we're just coming to town to play basketball. Oh, that's the best. That's it. Because there's no way that's true. But I love that he tried to pull it off that way.
Yeah, but here's what I think you're missing. That was full-on WWE hype mode. I mean, that was maybe even 80s, 90s Mean Gene Okerlund. Coming to the Hammond Civic Center, come and check it out Saturday night. There's going to be a lot of activity, a lot of high-powered, high-flying entertainment. Come in, no shenanigans. Yeah, you will hear some smack talking, but it's going to be good, clean, American fun. That's kind of what he did.
Kyrie Irving's the one telling us that. Listen, there's not going to be any kinds of crazy shenanigans here, okay? Just want to let you know.
Hey, wait, he's playing Kyrie, good basketball right now.
But Kyrie, that's kind of what you do. Yeah, no, but we're not going to have that on Wednesday. Okay. It's not going
to
be there Wednesday.
Nothing to see here.
I'm the one telling you. I'm the one telling you this.
Did you see the sarcasm bucket under his under his feet there? I mean, come on.
Yeah, there's not going to be no blank talking. No, because you know LeBron's not playing, so I don't want to really just needle him and upset him. There's not going to be any blank talking. Yes, that's right. Yes, the Houston Rockets are going to say, yeah, you know, we've been looking forward to this game, circled on our calendar for a while. But you know what? Kyrie's right. Hey, no blank talking in this game. Right, let's make sure we just play a nice clean game of basketball, right? Is that not going to be any kind of blank talk? We're not going to send Harden to the floor for a really hard foul when he tries to get into the lane.
No, flagrant foul things. 2 minutes in. Well, I guess all bets are off.
I just love Kyrie, the guy who is the poster guy for, hey, anything goes at all times. Who knows? No. He's the one saying everything's going to be fine on Wednesday. When you know everything's not going to be fine on Wednesday, it's going to be no holds barred in Houston. That's how it's going to go.
And I'll tell you what, I dig that. I dig that. Let's go. We'll be here to cover it all.
Oh, my God. Hey, this is going to be a fun night. That's going to be a really fun night. I mean, the Nets are going to win by 50, but still, it's going to be a really fun night. Thanks to Kyrie Irving for always providing the content that so need here on Sports Talk Radio. Meanwhile, a story out of the NFL that really gets into what the most under-the-radar story of this offseason has been so far. Alex Smith is likely going to be an ex-member of the Washington football team coming up in a few days. He's been told they're going to move on, and he will be looking for a job once again. We talk about his story being a movie, and clearly there's still some more acts left to be written in this. This script still has a little bit of time left. He showed when he came back last year, he still could do it. He wasn't crazy throwing the football like, whoa, Alex Smith is like, you know, like not like 2011 Alex Smith. But still, he showed he could still play. And there are some teams that clearly could wind up using him. Now, would he be a guy that would come in to start? No. Would he be a guy that could come in as a backup or come in as a bridge until a young guy is ready? Absolutely, 100%, that's Alex Smith, right? He's been through everything in the National Football League, right? He can come in and be a great influence. He can play if he has to. He can also be a bridge quarterback. The fits for Alex Smith, the one keeps coming back to me, and it really is part of the most underrated storyline of this offseason, and that is, what the hell are the Patriots doing at quarterback? I mean, really, what the hell is their plan, okay? Because Alex Smith could come in. It's great Patriots. Hey, Alex Smith is a smart guy. Come in, execute the offense, and the Patriots would draft their next quarterback, whether it's Trey Lance or someone else, and Alex Smith would play until Trey Lance is ready, because that's kind of what the Patriots have to do. No one's going to trade with them so the Patriots can trade up to get a quarterback, because teams are going to go, why does Belichick want this guy? Maybe we should draft this guy. We're not going to help him restart his dynasty in New England, so that's not happening. But the Patriots, clearly, that's where they're at now. They need somebody to play now, and they need somebody they're going to get in the draft. And they're not going to get anybody in free agency. I don't mean quarterback-wise. I mean player-wise. Who's going to go play there? All right, the secret is out that you don't get treated that great in New England. And now that Tom Brady is gone, the allure of going there is gone. People talk. Players talk to each other. Hey, New England's kind of crazy, man. It was great while we were winning. But so what is New England's plan? How are they going to get better? They got to get better at quarterback, right? That's the number one thing. Cam Newton was terrible last year. All right, he had a couple of big games, but that was it. He was terrible. They're not going to re-sign him. I don't know that Cam Newton's even going to play in the NFL again, because teams watched him play last year and said, the guy can't throw the football anymore. Still running the football, he's fine, but he can't throw. So what do we – he threw for less touchdowns than Sam Darnold, and Sam Darnold was out and out terrible. So how are we going to – how is this going to work? What is New England's plan? I know they have an end game, right? I know they have an end game with what they want to do, but I just don't see it. And they are in real big danger of going from, boy, the Patriots did so well for 20 years, to they're an absolute mess. I mean, they're a mess of the Lions, Raiders, Jets, Browns, normal tire fire mess that these teams are. They can get that fast, that bad, that fast. And some of the players that are free agents now, they're going to lose. They had a big exodus after last year. I don't see what the end game is. And if you talk about teams that are ready to become just an absolute mess and a joke, the Patriots could get there really, really fast. All right, they had no talent last year. They had nothing going for themselves. They still squeaked out a 7-9 season. But man, you're not getting better. If you're not getting better in the offseason, you're getting worse. And I don't know what the Patriots plan is at quarterback. I don't know that they have one. I don't know why they're not in for Matthew Stafford. Didn't get in for Matthew Stafford or somebody else. They're not going to get Deshaun Watson. The Texans aren't going to trade. Anybody big isn't going to the New England Patriots. I don't get what their plan is. I don't get it.
Well, that's why they work in stealth mode. Lots of things at play here in New England. Obviously, they get a number of members of the defense back. A defense that played pretty well, mind you, in for most of the season. As you mentioned, a 7-9 record. Based on what they were putting on the field, if you just listed the names of starters on both sides of the ball, most pretty good football fans and even media members have no idea who any of those people are, right? They clearly were devoid of huge talent at wide receiver. Julian Edelman was hurt, which would have been a nice safety valve to have as you're trying to get N'Keal Harry and others up and running. But you didn't have any old reliables. As you mentioned, Cam Newton was a project, a reclamation project of trying to see what was left in the tank coming off big injuries and surgeries. And now it's, can he rediscover form, maybe take a contract on the cheap somewhere and be one of the guys that you've talked about tonight where, all right, the break glass in case of emergency. Let's see if he can bridge us 3-4 weeks off an injury. I think that's his next role, whether it's New England or elsewhere. We've heard some scuttlebutt that maybe Garoppolo shakes free and heads back to New England. Or, who knows, Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, you're looking at the formula of take care of the football, have a good defense, some semblance of a Frankenstein running game, and go from there. Just, you know, win the turnover battle, grind out wins. It's not the sexiest way to win football, and certainly not to watch it. But that's what Belichick and I think the Patriots will become here. And I don't rule out, you know, one of these guys shaking free because of the finances of it all and the number of guys that are still hanging on in the carousel that go and play there. Who's to say that the neckbeard doesn't end up there for a year?
Oh, look at you.
Right? Smart guy. Maybe they'd get along talking history and stuff like Belichick does. And he's a guy that you know can make some plays downfield. Maybe he takes more chances than you'd like. Add a little Pepto-Bismol to the diet. But it's an opportunity on the cheap to maybe get a guy who can win you that extra game or two and make you a playoff contender. See what I did there? I gave you a Jets nightmare.
Yeah, look at you. Hey, listen, we're going to get Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson, so we're going to be fine for the next 10 to 12 years.
Well, there's that two-quarterback thing taking up half your salary cap.
But, I, the whole thing is Belichick said, hey, he definitely downplayed expectations last year, almost like the Patriots didn't try to win. Like, not that they went into tank games, but wanted to let everybody know the bar is set so low this year, right? We didn't get anybody in free agency. We drafted all projects for the future. You know, we're signing Cam Newton at the last minute, and that's kind of how we're doing it. So the expectation was so low that somehow, hey, if the Patriots got to 9-7, because Belichick's a genius, oh, look how great they're at. Wait till they get new players and things. But it didn't turn out that way. It didn't work out. It didn't work out that people think, oh, now the Patriots are back after a year and look where they're going to be. It didn't go that way. And I just don't see where they're going to build it back up. And it's not that it's Brady versus Belichick and Brady's won the war and Belichick hasn't. This is more what we've seen so far, like with Shaq and Kobe, where Shaq got the trade. He wanted to get the next championship. He went to a team that was more ready-made to win. The Lakers were starting over. Shaq won the first title, but years later, Kobe won the war because they went to 3 finals and won 2 of them. That's kind of where this story is right now. But I just don't see how is Belichick going to do that. I mean, I know he was playing the long game, but this is a really long game. I mean, this is like the Snyder cut of long games that we're seeing from
look
the
at
Patriots.
You.
How long is this going to go?
You don't even know what it's going to look like when it finally comes out.
It's going to be over 4 hours. I know the Snyder cut is 4 hours. The Joker's in it. He wasn't even in it before. All right. Anyway,
how great is that?
I just don't see how the Patriots are going to just magically turn things around without a plan of getting a great quarterback in. Because the one thing we saw this year that is the absolute truth is that, boy, when you have a great quarterback, you're great. If you don't have a great quarterback, you're not. And Belichick is not going to be able to try to cobble together a roster by saying, maybe it's Cam Newton in year two, or maybe it's a... No, you got to have a better guy in plan. And I don't see anybody in that plan. The Jaguars are not going to up and say, hey, guess what? We're trading the Patriots, number one overall pick in the draft. I don't see their path to a great quarterback. So I don't see the Patriots' path to winning. So I see another Patriots year of not being as good as they were last year. And look what that does to Belichick now. Suddenly then, everything in New England is done. And, hey, they rode the fast lane for 20 years, and now it's done, and it's still all about Tom Brady for the next few years. This could get to an absolute mess for New England so fast and so soon that it's like we wouldn't even have seen it coming. That, my goodness, look how bad this is. Look at the blank show this is in New England.
My goodness, look how old you've become. They were just throwing movies at each other left and right. But, no, I mean, that's the risk of this, right, is that the master plan doesn't work anymore. And in free agency, you strike out. Well, in the end, guys still want to get paid. and there are only 32 opportunities in the National Football League. And when your money is still higher than others, right? Because everybody runs up against the cap except the Rams. We're going to run that joke until it doesn't work anymore because they're still the best at moving money around and adding assets to their portfolio, as it were. But we look at the Patriots and with Bill Belichick, they're always going to be a good team. Then it's just a question of do they have enough to be great? And I suspect the rumors of his demise have been greatly exaggerated, and that we're in for one hell of an offseason here where they rise back up. I like the Sith. See? No, okay. Plays.
Well, you saw what happened to Darth Vader at the end of Revenge of the Sith. There wasn't a lot of revenge. There's just missing limbs. Sorry, spoiler.
Well,
I mean, it's what it was. In revenge terms, that didn't really go that well for Darth Vader.
Well, but he had a good run for a while. I mean, the long game is everybody retires and goes into a different part of their life.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Just watch the blank show the Pats can become really, really fast.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. What else are you going to do with your phone in the next few minutes? Look at photos of things other people ate? Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers, Circle Fire Insurance, Exchanges, or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. And surprise, surprise, the biggest conversation in sports today centered around unpaid internships. Crazy how it evolved and devolved, but this is all because of a tweet put out by NFL Network reporter Jane Slater, who posted a potential internship for someone else. She was helping somebody out, saying, hey, could be a great internship in the Dallas area. Message me if you want more information. It's an unpaid internship. And of course, because when you do something like this on social media, many people came back at her upset, unpaid, I don't work for free, all of these things. And Jane Slater went on to Twitter and said, boy, I posted an opportunity for an unpaid internship. I'm amazed the comments I get. It's not even for me. It's for somebody else. I would have jumped at it in college. I had 3 unpaid internships in school, double majored and had a job. Shaking my head. That was the bad tweet. That's the one that she needed to avoid. Because after this happened and she got attacked on Twitter for all these different reasons, hey, you had privilege, you were able to take these jobs because your grandfather paid for your schooling, and all these crazy things go on, all because Jane Slater puts out a thing about, hey, there could be a great unpaid internship opportunity for somebody. It's a couple days a week for 6 weeks. Let me know. I can give you more information. And then, of course, everybody with a check mark wanted to get on Twitter and say, you know what I did back when I was coming up? I didn't even have a television, and I worked in television. It was 12 hours a day. I was just changing the channel for the CEO of the network. He said, put on CNN. I would turn on CNN. He said, find channel 13. I would have to go all the way around the dial, click, 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 to get to channel 13. So everybody wants to fill what they, this is what I did in the old days for unpaid internships. Now, there's 2 big takeaways from this story, because this clearly is something that's still going on. The number one thing is, hey, unpaid internships are not that cool. All right, there was the way it was done 25 years ago, and everybody who was wants to tell stories about their unpaid internships, all of them are from 20 years ago. It's all, when I was first coming up, and I did this, and I made that, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, doesn't mean it's a great idea. There's more opportunities nowadays for to do things where you don't have to worry about unpaid internships. You know, when I was in college, I couldn't go and work for ESPNU and broadcast a lacrosse game on networks across the country. But you can do that now at ESPN and Fox, and you can get gigs on the internet now. There's many more things that are available to people outside of unpaid internships, which was kind of the only big thing a while ago. So it's good that we've actually had some kind of advancement, because that's what you want, right? You want to be able for the next generation to make it easier for them to get jobs and work. I don't want to sit here and have the next generation go, nope, you got to jump through all kinds of hoops just like I did. I want you to work for no money, and I want you to have to work other places in a supermarket like I did. No, you want to make things better for the next generation, and things are better because there's so many more things that kids can do even in college now. It works out great, but mainly, and it's the big point that you made, Mike, earlier in the show, is that if you don't want to take an unpaid internship, guess what? You don't have to take it if you don't want to.
Right. I mean, that's the bottom line to all of this, right? And it went into a million different directions. Circumstances are different. The histories that you have are different, where you're coming from, where you live, all of those things. Because this really blew up into the spidering effect that we love to do here on the show as far as topics go. All right, here's the start point, and here's everything that trickles off of it in 14 directions is a beautiful thing. In this particular case, it got into some ugly back and forths. You mentioned the humorous stories, you know, of going uphill both ways in the snow and all of that stuff that people started to get some tongue in cheek. But it got into some very real and angry, emotional types of places. And it's like, yes, you may not have the same opportunity to just say, hey, I can't do this paid. Well, you do still have the same 24 hours in the day as everybody else. So, you know, in terms of your life and your planning, you know what? Some opportunities are going to be there. And as you say, there's so many different ways to create your own content, to try to get a voice. What the unpaid internships do in most cases is that you're getting access to a place and there's a value to it. And while it may not be in the form of a 1099 or a regular every other week, you know, paycheck and benefits and whatever else, there is something to the experience, the mentorship, the learning, the people you meet there. I mean, we had a bunch of people reaching out that worked with us on the show and were part of, you know, and that's a school thing for most of them. But even afterwards, folks raise their hand because they want to be in the door. They want to, you know, to quote Hamilton, be in the room where it happens and start seeing how people prepare a show, help prepare a show, learn some of the different skills that maybe you wouldn't get access to otherwise. And so there's a value to it. I like to think that we offered some pretty good advice to the folks that pass through our doorways. And it's a matter of choice, right? You have a very large marketplace. And if the demand is so strong that people are lining up and sending in resumes to do it for free, and I know there's different labor laws and things on unpaid internships and state to state that there's different regulations and things you need to follow. But just in general, the opportunity to go and learn about whatever your craft is, in this case, we're talking about broadcasting, radio, television, etc., or writing for websites. You know, I was working at Yahoo. They didn't pay me much because they dangled the carrot of the stock option lottery, which never came to fruition for me. But for a year, I was going to school to get my MBA. I was writing. I was doing videos that I wasn't getting paid for. And then I was doing my regular job, which, if anybody knows anything about the dot-com world, ran you well beyond the 40 hours you were getting paid. That was just the expectation. And that's not to be woe is me. That's the way it was, and you recognize that you were potentially into something pretty special. And I think that's part of these jobs, and it's not to put them above any other. It's just if you have demand for access and a shot at what this could be, especially when you're talking about radio and TV, then you're going to have people lining up for that shot to get some experience that maybe they can parlay into something of their own, right? Maybe they have the great idea while working that they go off, spin off into an app, a website, whatever else. It's not for everyone. And sometimes the unpaid internship is the thing that helps you recognize, you know what, maybe this isn't what it looks like on the outside, and I'm done with it. And then you find another path. I mean, there's lots of ways to it, and we all come to our station in whatever chosen field through myriad ways.
You know, the other part of it is this, and this is what really made today go the way it is. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS to save a bit of something on insurance. Is that this went crazy because of social media. And, you know, I always say the same thing. You can't be on social media if you can't take people telling you that you suck. All right. She puts out on social media, hey, here's what could be an unpaid internship. Let me know if you want. I can get you information. Awesome. Then when you see the responses, because it's social media, and social media is inherently, I want to try to find a way to ruin somebody's day. I want to try to find a way to go and have outrage at this. Once you see those responses, put social media away, man. You don't need to get on social. You don't need to get on Twitter and defend yourself. All she did was put out something. This could be a great opportunity. But once you see your ads and you see what people are saying to you, done. Don't say anything. When she came back with that tweet about, hey, I had 3 unpaid internships in school, I double majored, had a job, that was the worst thing she could do. Because that opened up to everybody who would say, oh, it's nice you were able to do that. I can't do that because I couldn't take a job that I wasn't getting paid. I couldn't afford that. Now you've gone into this down this rabbit hole of saying things that you think, well, this is what I did. This is the badge I wore growing up. And you don't see how it's going to be taken by other people. Right? She was saying, hey, I worked hard in college. Well, other people are working hard too, but they may not have the advantages of being able to take an unpaid internship and work a lot of hours. If you see people getting it, just you're not getting, like I said, you're not getting paid to do social media. This is where you close Twitter and you go back at it another time and don't look at your ads and don't have your day ruined, because that's what's going to happen. And she just continued to try to defend herself and it just got worse. When you want to say something and people are mad at you, oh, this unpaid internships are terrible. Okay, that's your opinion. That's great. And I'm moving on, because I guarantee you she had a horrible day. I guarantee you this is something that dominated her day. She went to bed feeling awful about this, and it's just something you can turn off. You don't need to be on social media. There is not one job that I have ever had, where a boss came in or a manager came into me and said, hey, you need to be on social media defending this take you had. Not one. Not one. If you want to do it, great. But there's not one time you need to be on social media saying this. This is part of your job. It's not. And had she just saw what was going on, okay, this is the way it's going to be today. I tried to put out a nice thing for somebody, which is what she tried to do. She just tried to put out something for, you know, no good deed goes unpunished, right? She's tried to put this out there for someone to take. Hey, it could be a good opportunity, but I see what I'm getting back. Okay, you know what? I'll get back at things tomorrow when I'm reporting, I'm doing something else. I'm not going to look at my ads. I'm not going to have my day ruined. And that's exactly what happened for her. I feel bad that this is the way it went, but when you do this on social media, the more you talk about something, the worse it's going to get for you, because the more things snowball. This was completely avoidable, and I don't think for one second she was trying to put this out there as, hey, now people are talking about me, because you're seeing the backtracking that she was doing, and it's not like she's taken advantage of this and gone on all kinds of interviews and talking about things. So this got out of control, which is what happens on social media. You got to be able to be on social media and understand what it's all about. And when people tell you you suck, you got to be able to take it. Or at the very least, just close up the app and not get on it for a little bit and take a break. Everything will still be fine and everything will be there tomorrow. But instead, this is how the day went.
Well, and obviously it didn't stay on the straight line about unpaid internships just on the face of them.
Surprise, right? Because Twitter, everybody's going to block. You know, they're going to deal with everything at face value. What this is, it's right. Of course, it's Twitter,
right? So it immediately becomes things injected about socioeconomic status, family life, race, you name it. And it was literally here's an opportunity. It's unpaid, and if you're interested in doing something, just at me. and be done. So, you know, going into justifications and retelling her work history, and she's accomplished, right? She's doing some great things. NFL Network comes on the network, has been on with us before. Great reporter, does great work out of Dallas. And, you know, it's for a moment, everybody took it sideways. And it was really just more about, here's the history, recognize it's a competitive business, and here's what I did to get ahead. That's really all that it needed to be. And then it just opened up into a whole other world. And, you know, the base comes back for me is, to your point, is put your stuff on social media. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times that someone hears 30 seconds of a take from you or I and mischaracterizes it. Am I going to fight windmills on social media about it? No, because if I do, all right, part of a 7-tweet thread, 280 characters each, who the hell's reading past number one? And if that gets cut off at the wrong point, now I've got another message out there that people are going to jump on, and so on, and so on, and so on. So it just becomes problematic. For me, it's more we make our case, we make our explanations, and moving on. And for this one, you either want to try to expand and working an unpaid job in some capacity, writing, voice, or on camera or behind the camera, whatever. If that doesn't work for your situation, I'm sorry. There's plenty of other ways that you can do your work. And that's not to diminish anybody's goals, their talent. It says nothing of that. The world's full of all different types of ice cream, and you just have to pick your flavor and run with it as best you can.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. What else are you going to do with your phone in the next few minutes? Look at photos of things other people ate? Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS. You could save a whole lot of something on auto insurance. So, listen, we had the big Golden Globe Awards this past weekend, and many things gained headlines. We talked about Jodie Foster and her love for the Packers earlier. But the other thing that kind of won the night was Jason Sudeikis winning Best Actor for Ted Lasso and accepting in a tie-dyed hoodie and the mustache that he's wearing as he's shooting season 2 of Ted Lasso right now. And I got to tell you, of all the sports shows that I've watched, it's very hard to do comedy in sports right, because there's so many nuances that the sports fan has to get, but the average person has to get. It's really difficult. To do something like Major League is really, really hard. And I got to tell you, the cure for what ails you is Ted Lasso. It is such an incredibly funny show. We just finished binging it about a week and a half ago, and I can't tell you how fun it is. At Ted Lasso, in case you don't know, Jason Sudeikis plays a football coach, a college football coach, who wins the FCS title with Wichita State, and he gets hired as the head coach of a Premier League team, soccer, in England. All right, obviously this is never going to happen, but this is the story. And there's a reason for it, and you know, everybody's got agendas, and it's incredibly hilarious. And I know people say, "Oh, Ted Lasso's great because it's a throwback, it's heartwarming." No, this is not, it's not a Disney movie. You know, it's what it is it's a comedy that they just don't make now. That they made 10 years ago that was really funny, and they just happen to make it now. And it cuts through because it's different. The players are really funny. You'll walk around running lines from it, and he's very funny. His timing is great. But it's like, the reason it's good is because it cuts through. Because I feel like all the comedies now, Mike, that they put on cable or on streaming services are all the same. I'm going to sound old when I say this, but I feel like they're about really young people who haven't found their way in life, and it's about technology and awkward situations involving sex. right? Like that's all the shows, the comedies that are put on now, cable and streaming. And again, I sound like, oh my goodness, it's all about sex now. No, it's just, I feel like all the shows are kind of about that. And there's too many of them. And this one just stands out because it's a comedy that they used to do great, that they just don't make that much anymore, and they're making it now, and you get to see, oh, I get it. That's why this is so funny, because it's a show that would have been great in any time. And the soccer stuff is really funny. You don't need to know soccer to enjoy it, because the thing is, he doesn't know soccer. And that's the brilliant part of it, is that it's not like you have to know. He doesn't know anything about soccer, but he takes this job because, they play it out during the show. But, he doesn't know anything about it. So it doesn't matter that you don't know it, because the main character doesn't know it, and they make it work. It's just genius. It's absolute genius.
I'm eager to get into it. It's one of the next on the list. I just rewatched Ballers, because I wanted to think about the off the field National Football League, because I so missed it after the Super Bowl and Tom Brady riding off into the sunset. But Sudeikis, always funny. I know there was a lot of speculation as to his state of being during his acceptance speech. The only thing that got as much run was Jason Bateman hanging out at Jennifer Aniston's house.
Yes, that is true. Yes, that was.
So those two things kind of go hand in hand, where we're talking about comedy, although Ozark not really funny. But with Ted Lasso, it certainly he's gotten a lot of praise, talking about season two, and a guy that you worried might have been getting typecast. Well, he keeps moving on. Good stuff.
Yeah, and really it's all been about his personal life the last few weeks too, going into it. I'm sure that didn't hurt, the attention. It's okay, he's dating somebody else, and now Olivia Wilde's moved in with Harry Styles, and that video of her taking the stuff from his house and moving it into Harry Styles' house. And it's like, oh my God. So I mean, look, it's all around it, but trust me, Ted Lasso, you got it. You will want to watch it in a day. It's really, really funny, and it just, I'll tell you, it's stuff they don't make anymore.
And he could thank Brockmire for it.
Sure. He absolutely could. Nice reference. Drop the mic. My buddy Ben Maller coming up next. This is Fox.